this is Chris Taylor, and I want to invite you to join Honeycomb and Spice, a private and authentic online community where Christian wives can find encouragement and information about sexual intimacy. Whether you've struggled with sex, have a husband who struggles, or already enjoy much sweetness and spice in the sexual intimacy in your marriage, Honeycomb and Spice is for you. Join me at Honeycomb and Spice, honeycombspice.com.
Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We're four marriage and sex bloggers.
Discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7.
Welcome back to Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We know this time of year is busy for lots of women as the school year begins, and we know this school year carries lots of extra challenges. So thank you for joining us during such a busy time. And to help you out, we want to give you something simple today. We want to encourage you to just think of one thing that you can do to improve your sex life. And to give you some ideas, we're each going to share one thing that we each did to improve our own sex lives. So ladies, who wants to share?
Okay, so when I decided that it was time to figure out how to feel sexual again, how to find my sexual interest, I started with the most obvious thing. Well, to me, it was the most obvious thing, was my physical self. It was just easier than to dig through my brain or to think about spiritual things. So I just started with my physical. And what I did was I started trying different kinds of exercise because I hadn't really been exercising and I was a little overweight and my numbers, I had gone to the doctor before I started my regimen and my numbers were bad, you know, pre-diabetic and stuff. So what I'm getting at is I tried different forms of exercise until I found what I knew I could stick with. So I tried just walking around the neighborhood, you know, by myself. I was bored stiff. I tried going to kickboxing, which I liked, but it hurt my hips. And the music was really boring. It was just all that techno stuff, you know, over and over and over. And then I went to, I did some dance classes, but they were kind of expensive. But then I found, and I know you're all going to know what I'm going to say, I found Jazzercise, which was a nice combination of dance and exercise and weight training. And the music was very interesting and it changed. The routines changed, so I was not bored. I have a boredom problem, I guess. And I was able to stick with it. So through COVID, I mean, so that's been since 2006.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did see a difference in my sexual interest. And I think it was mainly because I had more confidence. I had confidence in my stamina and my strength. I had confidence that my body looked better. And I just felt good and empowered about myself.
Wow. I expected you to say scheduling, Bonnie.
Well, that was next, but we'll start with that.
I was just going to say, you know, I think that's a great one. And I just think it does so many things for it. I mean, it gives you that confidence. It gives you that strength that helps you feel better about your body overall. You might lose a little bit of weight, which for some women, you know, makes you feel better about your body. I just think there's a very common thing for women of just feeling uncomfortable in your own body. And it's very hard to feel sexual if you feel uncomfortable in your body.
I completely agree. And another thing that that it helped me with was to think about the rest of my body. So before I'd just been like this head walking around on these two legs, you know, I hadn't really thought about the rest of my body. But when I started exercising and I'd feel the different muscles be strained and, you know, sore the next day, it helped me with actual sexual intimacy, because then I could think about the positive sensations and what builds to orgasm. And so there was a lot of benefit in just the actual sexual event too, from that internal thought. Oh, and I did want to add that after a year, they did my numbers again, they were all much better.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I can go next if you want me to.
Sure. Go for it.
The thing I wanted to cover that really improved the sexuality for me, just my whole attitude and experience, is that my mind's a little heavier, is I confronted my baggage. So I've been very open about having had a promiscuous premarital past. And for me, I carried into my marriage this sense that, you know, I liked sex. I wanted to have sex with my husband and everything. But there was still just this cloud and me worried about how I looked, you know, who I was, or all those things about me that what I had done was just still kind of sticking to me. And so I would be inhibited about some things or overly anxious. And I just didn't communicate as well as I should have. And for me, it was really not just owning the experience, but I dealt with it in a way of saying, okay, God, I'm sorry, but finally recognizing that God was not holding that over me at all. That the person who was at that point, you know, years into my marriage, having trouble forgiving, was not God, it was me. That redemption was really possible, and that God was looking down at this marriage and saying, okay, whatever you did in your past, you are here in this exclusive relationship with your husband, and I want to bless you. I'm not holding that over you. I want to bless you. And so when I finally embraced that, it just made a huge change for me on how I felt about everything. There was a security that kind of settled in.
My premarital story was pretty similar. And when I remember I would think about all the things that I had done in the past. And then anytime we had a problem, I didn't communicate about it to my husband because I had this message of, I don't deserve a happy marriage. I deserve to have an unhappy marriage because of what I did before. And, you know, that affected me for years. And releasing some of that and accepting the forgiveness that God had given long ago it was just liberating. I felt like a different woman when I realized that I didn't have to carry that around.
Yeah. And I think people need to understand that, and it sounds like this was the same for you as for me, and that is that it was not one day that I just sort of woke up and went, okay, I'm accepting God's forgiveness today. It was a process, but yeah. Once I became intentional about what does God really want to do for me from here on out, you know, that became a process, and it was so worth going through.
Yeah, and that was true for me too. And I remember thinking one day, I was thinking, I don't deserve to have a happy marriage. But then I looked at my husband and I thought, but he doesn't deserve to suffer for my past. Mm. And I thought, wow, I hadn't even realized my baggage was affecting him.
And I think even if your baggage happened during the marriage or this or that, I mean, there's a process of changing your behavior and healing from it and, you know, confessing and repenting of your sin. But there's also the process of getting to recovery and really embracing the other side. And just knowing that God's there wanting to bless you. Anyway, that's mine. I feel like it was very heavy. It was very, you know, serious. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
I'm not usually so serious.
Some stuff is serious. Yeah. And I think probably a lot of our listeners can relate to that.
Yeah. But now I now feel like I should be, you know, telling a sex joke or something to lighten things back up.
Okay, Gay, what do you have to say since Bonnie did the exercise one?
I know, Bonnie
did
the exercise.
No, I stole yours, sorry.
I know, that's okay. The one I wanted to share is to let go of the obligation mindset and to embrace sex for yourself. So I'll say I've done this imperfectly. Sometimes I've done it better than others, but to me, it's very easy to fall back into the obligation mindset. And I just think that a lot of women And maybe even more so, a lot of women in the church, women who have grown up in the church, who are in the church now, have heard this message of sex for you is primarily an obligation. It's something you owe your husband, or it's just something you have to do. And I just think, I mean, that is just such a drain on sex in a marriage. I mean, who wants to spend their whole married life fulfilling an obligation? I mean, that's just soul crushing. So I just think that really intentionally moving from this is something I have to do, or this is something I owe my husband, to this is something that, you know, God wants, as Jay said, to, you know, to bless our marriage with this, but also to bless me. This is, you know, as women, we're sexual people too, and it's very easy for our sexuality, I think, to get buried and, you know, under all kinds of stuff. But you have to go and look for it. I think you have to be intentional about moving out of that sense of obligation and moving into, I'm going to discover how to embrace my sexuality and to make this something that's good for both of us.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Yeah, I agree with you, Gay, that, you know, healthy marriage has a frequent sex life, mm-hmm. if at all possible. You know, everybody's healthy physically and all that. And but to go along with what you've just said, I've recently heard that if you don't have the ability to say no, which is what duty sex says, that mm-hmm. you don't have the ability to say no. If you don't have the ability to say no, that makes your yes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, but if you're saying yes, because you wholeheartedly are saying yes, how much more does that intimate act mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I just think, I feel like, okay, it's the 21st century. We should not still be hearing this message of duty and obligation, but I think that a lot of women are, or they heard it, you know, growing up or in their young married life, and they haven't been able to move past it. And so mm-hmm. I'm just saying, now's the time to start moving past it.
You know, mm-hmm. that was the message that I definitely got. And I think I've heard that sometimes from well-meaning women who honestly believe that, okay, but this is a loving sacrificial thing you do for your husband and this and that. And they don't really believe what you just said, that they are sexual beings that God wants to bless, that sex is entirely for them too. And once you give that message, which I think is so important, some wives out there hopefully will realize, if that's true and it doesn't currently feel great, then your next step is to figure out how it can feel great, how it can be something that you don't want to do out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of enthusiasm or mm-hmm. interest.
Mm-hmm. And obviously we're talking about a pattern here. I mean, in marriage, spouses at times do things for the other person that they don't particularly want to do. And that's fine. And it can be sex, or it can be a lot of other things. But we're talking about a pattern here mm-hmm. of, you know, if that's what your sex life is based on, that's not good for you. And really, it's not good for your husband or your marriage. You can choose at some times to say, yeah, I'm not really feeling it tonight, but let's go ahead and do this. But that should not be the day in, day out pattern, that it's mm-hmm. based on that obligation.
Mm-hmm. And so many husbands will say that they really don't want duty sex because part of what is enjoyable for them is feeling desired. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone who's just, you know, okay, I'm only doing it because you want it, that doesn't really feed them emotionally
mm-hmm.
at all. And actually, speaking of emotionally, that leads into my one thing mm-hmm. I wanted to share. And that was that I decided to believe my husband when he said that the lack of sex affected him emotionally. Mm-hmm. He would say things like, it's not that I want the physical pleasure so much as I'm lacking intimacy. And to me, I would hear him say intimacy and I'd think, oh, that's just a euphemism for sex. But when I decided to simply believe what he was telling me It helped completely shift my perspective. You know, it helped me realize that if really all he wanted was the physical pleasure, he didn't need me. He could have just taken care of that in the shower. Mm-hmm. And one time he even said, if all I wanted you for was sex, why would I still be here? And when I decided to just believe his words that it was an emotional and intimate connection that he wanted, it totally changed how I could perceive that it was not an obligation. It was part of, you know, what I really craved in marriage was an emotional connection. And it hadn't occurred to me that sex could be part of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a message. I know husbands are probably listening in too. I mean, not only for wives to believe their husbands when they say it's about the intimacy, or that you are beautiful, or that he loves your body no matter what it yeah. looks like. I mean, it's really important for you us wives to believe them. And on the flip side, it's important for the husbands to believe their wives when they say things too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they dismiss what we say, and whether it's a compliment to them or it's what our reality is in the bedroom, you know, they need to hear us too.
Yeah, we just need to listen to each other. And I think with me, just giving my husband the benefit of the doubt was a huge thing. And one of the things that I found is that it affected our marriage in lots of ways, that me being willing to believe what he said made it a little bit easier for him to believe things I said, that even when he didn't understand them. And trust me, there's a lot that goes on in my head that he does not understand, because I am not a simple lady.
Yeah, it's not like all this stuff also gets resolved where you're like, oh, well, we've completely arrived.
We fixed it now. I am now completely 100% awesome wife.
And sometimes you think you arrived. And you haven't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is complete arrival a requirement for being a sex podcast host? Because if it is, I'm going to have to drop out.
I think we're all out. Bye.
I'm out of here.
Let's remind our listeners that in October, we have a webinar coming up, and the topic is the big orgasm.
Oh, yeah. We'll include a link to that in our show notes.
Yes. And also, if you enjoy our podcast, we would be honored if you would leave us a review, because we're reaching a milestone moment of 500 reviews. And in the Apple world, I guess that gives us like a bonus. I'm not sure. What's that do, Jay?
It helps other people see us. It is apparently some kind of milestone. We are at about 450 now, and another 50 reviews would send us right over and kind of put us in the ta-da category.
So I think they recommend you more. Like, yes. You know, if people looked at this, oh, well, you might like Sex Chat for Christian Wives too. It's kind of, you get recommendations.
It's been my long-term dream to be on the trending, but I don't know that we'll ever be trending.
But here's the other thing. Helping us accomplish that milestone helps us accomplish another milestone. We are getting pretty close to having 1 million downloads of Sex Chat for Christian Wives. 1 million.
Oh, my word.
That just blows my mind. So, crazy. So yeah, we're kind of excited. We'll have to figure out some kind of fun thing we can do to celebrate that.
Yeah.
We've given you 4 suggestions of what you can, maybe some ideas that you can use to make a difference in your own sex life. So we have exercise, dealing with baggage, letting go of the obligation mindset, and believing your husband's words about sex. So in your busy time that you have right now, maybe just try one of those things and see if it makes a difference for you too. Thanks for joining us during this busy time of the year, and we will see you next time.